Welcome to Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
And Tony Gasell.
Caller analyst, Jeff Lagerman.
And Tony Gasell.
And Jaguars.com senior writer, John Osher.
And Tony Gasell.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange, Sonny's Barbecue, Wells Fargo, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
First off, I want to openly apologize to Gene and Mr. Khan and his family and Coach Malarkey, the whole organization, teammates, you know, everyone that I, with my bad, poor judgment over the weekend, that I had brought, you know, bad press to. I want to apologize, you know, to fans or people that looked up to me, and you know, because what I did, the decision I made over the weekend, you know, that might be questioning, you know, who I am now, and I just want to apologize for that, and just let people know that you know, that's not who I am, that's not who I'm going to be, and you know, just like, you know, I talked to Coach yesterday and Gene, you know, I'm looking to make things better, and I will continue to try to do that from, you know, starting yesterday on.
Justin, do you think you have a problem drinking alcohol?
I do not. I just think, you know, I just made a poor choice. I mean, I put myself in a bad situation, and, you know, it was completely my fault, and, you know, I just got to make better judgment on that.
That is obviously Jaguars rookie wide receiver Justin Blackmon from his 1:30 news conference earlier today, apologizing, taking full measure of it, not giving too many details for the obvious reason. It's a legal issue that won't be resolved until a few days before training camp begins. Welcome to Jaguars This Week. I'm Brian Sexton. Jeff Lagerman is here. Tony Boselli will join us momentarily from Gainesville, where the Jaguars caravan is motoring right along after going south through Palm Coast and Volusia County. No idea where Osher is, but we can handle this.
We're all right.
Lots to talk about. Jeff, your reaction on Sunday morning when you heard the news that the Jaguars rookie receiver had been pulled over for aggravated DUI.
Yeah, I mean, my first thought was, is everybody okay? Is Justin okay? Did he hurt anybody? I mean, that's the most important thing, is that nobody got hurt, including Justin Blackmon, but most importantly, anybody else. And, I mean, severe disappointment. I mean, when you invest and spend so much time, as the Jaguars have done, in researching a guy's background and making that kind of an investment, although it's not at the level that it used to be, but it's still a huge investment because it's your future. It's the success of your franchise in the future. So, disappointed. You know, I went to the press conference today and wanted to kind of, you know, see what was said and see the body language. And, you know, with a press conference like that today, I get it, in that you're not going to get but so much out of Justin Blackmon because he pled innocent to the DUI. You know, so because of that, it probably doesn't come off as what a lot of people would want. But I get it, you know, and one of the most important things was that, you know, he got up in front of the cameras and he got to see the scrutiny, and he faced the music, so to speak, you know, within a couple days of being arrested. You know, he was obviously in Oklahoma over the weekend, comes back, and, hey, you got to deal with it. And just disappointed, though. I mean, holy cow. I mean, I go back to the draft day, and in this town, the city was so excited about the selection of Justin Blackmon. And for good reason. I mean, the guy's a two-time Biletnikoff Award winner. I mean, a phenomenal talent.
Big-time playmaker.
Nationally recognized playmaker. And then before he even puts on pads, this happens. You know, so I just hope that if there is a problem, I don't know if there is or not. Nobody knows. It's all speculation. And that at least it happened now, before the contract, before anything happens, so that the contract can protect the team, number one, and number two, Justin Blackmon can make some changes if need be.
The part that amazed me was that just last week we got word that they were beginning to work on Blackman's contract after they completed Andre Branch's. And here he is, a weekend where he knows, he has to know that his agent is working on the deal, and he makes a major error in judgment. Now all of a sudden, he has to stand as a young kid in front of a hostile crowd. Not that the media is hostile, but
no,
clearly
but
they
not,
were inquisitive. It wasn't friendly.
Yeah, and, you know, and so, I mean, and for that reason, too, I mean, you don't expect, I mean, him to be a wordsmith, no. You know, to be just, you know, letting out all the emotions and being apologetic. I mean, first and foremost, he's a young guy. Number two is that, you know, you still got a legal case that's going to happen. I guess, what is the court date scheduled for July 24th?
Yeah, right before camp.
You know, so, you know, I didn't expect a whole lot, but the one impression that I definitely got, and that when he came in head down, wasn't making a lot of eye contact, you can tell that he was embarrassed. That he was uncomfortable. That's just my perception of his body language, and that's what you wanted to see.
And people could see it. It's all over.
It's all over Jaguars.com. You can watch it at Jaguars.com, and I'm sure other news websites that we have from here in our town.
His body language says, man, how did I get here?
But right now, the most important thing is what he does. It's not what he says from here on out. You know, words are cheap. Words were cheap after he got arrested way back in 2010. You know, now is the time for actions. And I know he had a chance to talk with Fred Taylor within the last couple days. And so, you know, does
Richard Collier spoke to the team a few days ago.
You know, and the organization is doing everything right. I mean, Mike Mularkey is doing a wonderful job bringing people in to teach these players things that they're going to be able to take with them away from the football field. I mean, he's teaching them life, you know. And so, I mean, I think they're doing a great job. The general manager, Gene Smith, has always put a premium on character. And he said, hey, look, he said, we've checked his background out and everything looked okay. I mean, scouts from around the league said the same thing. They thought it was an isolated incident. You know, and let's hope that it's two isolated incidents and he moves on and turns into a great football player.
All right. Tony Boselli joins us now with the Jaguars caravan over in Tioga Town Center near Gainesville. And I guess I got to get you on the show to get the deal. I sent you a text asking you how the deal went in Brunswick, and you never responded.
We've been busy.
Yeah,
so
tell me,
the tour.
How's it going?
And it's going great. I only got a few minutes here. We're getting ready to get started. So, but the caravan's going great. It's just proven the fact there's a ton of NFL fans and a lot of Jaguar fans all around the greater North Florida, Southeast Georgia region, and we're having a great time reaching out to them. Players have been great. Coaches, we've got Coach Mularkey here tonight. Fred Taylor. Been giving check presentations at each city to different charities. It's been a very successful first-time caravan, and we're looking forward to build on it in the future.
What kind of crowd in Gainesville tonight? College town,
you know,
Gator town? What do you think?
It's starting to build up right now. We're about a block away. We're actually just getting ready to head over there right now. You can hear the music in the background and people getting excited. So if it's anything like the first few, it's, the crowd's been very strong. A lot of people. You know, just a lot. It's amazing. Down in Daytona last night, the number of Jaguar fans in that community, it was very encouraging, and we're looking forward to building that fan base and engaging more of them.
The Blackman story throwing any cold water at all in the enthusiasm?
No, I don't think so at all. You know, it's a tough situation. It's, you know, you wish it never happened. You just thank God that Justin or nobody else got hurt during the situation. You hope, and I believe he will. He learns from it. You know, he's part of the Jaguar organization. You know, we need to get behind him, as I know everyone will, and support him and help him make better decisions. And you just got to believe the best about the young man. And like Jeff said, and it's been said before, actions will speak louder than words now with the decisions he makes in the future. But, you know, but it's not throwing cold water on this caravan at all.
Headed to Savannah tomorrow, Waycross Friday, Valdosta Saturday.
Yeah, but we'll be worn out. But it's a lot of fun. It's been as successful as we thought it would be, and I think we're going to do some really good things. There's no reason that the Jacksonville Jaguars should not be the regional team in Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
You know,
with the popularity of the NFL, the commitment from Shad Khan, I think we're on the right track.
Tony, it's always fun for the fans to be able to get to kind of see and feel and touch the players, shake hands, get autographs, all that kind of thing. What has been the reaction from the player standpoint? Because I know from a player's standpoint, doing those type of things sometimes can be a thrill.
Oh, it's been great. I'll tell you what, the players have been outstanding. Every single guy that has come to these from the time we go talk to kids at the charity events to the actual caravans, the players have been awesome. And they've, you know what, they've enjoyed it. They've engaged. You know, guys are getting into it. You know, Fred's been here with us. Taylor's been with us the last two nights. And, you know, it's great seeing Freddie T. And he's a fan favorite. And he's enjoying it. And so it's been good. I think it's been good, Jeff, for everybody, both the players and also the fans we're going to meet.
All right, Tony, have a good time tonight. Travel safe for the rest of the week. See you next week.
Yeah.
Tony Buscelli out on the road with a Jaguars caravan in a city near you. They're in Gainesville tonight. West Newberry Road, just past 75 there, on the west side of 75 at Tioga Town Center, 6 to 8 the hours on that. Tomorrow night in Savannah at the Morris Center on Broad Street from 6 to 8. Friday at Memorial Stadium in Waycross from 6 to 8. And Saturday in Valdosta at the Valdosta Mall from 1 to 3. And if you want details, jaguars.com/caravan2012. Or Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars or Twitter.com/JaguarsInsider. Okay, more to come. We'll touch a little bit more on Justin Blackmon and move through a busy news week in and around the NFL after this. Joe.
This is Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna. And Aetna's mobile app lets you view claims and access your family's medical history anytime, anywhere. And Aetna's payment estimator lets you see and compare costs ahead of time. Try them out at Aetna.com. Aetna, no more, get better. We'll pay some bills, check the skies, check the cars, and more of Jaguars This Week right here on Jaguars Radio. Season ticket owners, the Jaguars Refer a Fan program is designed to put money in your pocket. You're invited to refer friends to become Jaguars multi-year season ticket owners in return for a cash referral fee. For more information on joining the Refer a Fan program, call the Jaguars Ticket Office, 904-633-2000, or visit jaguars.com.
It's disappointing, but yet I do know he has a chance to correct this, and I do know that all I can go off of is really history. And coming out of college, we look for patterns. We felt it was an isolated incident. Obviously, Justin's had another one. And without question, we got to get this right. But again, I have faith in Justin and the support system that I talked about, that it can happen. And it can be a tremendous career because of it.
Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith speaking first at the news conference this afternoon, followed by Coach Mike Mularkey and then Justin Blackmon. And a tough position, obviously, to be in here with a lot of good things happening and then having to take a step back and address something so serious.
Yeah, I mean, it's never good. I mean, it's been, you know, the last couple of weeks should have been about building excitement, you know, with the caravan hitting different parts of North Florida and Southeast Georgia.
Terrence Knighton's going to be healthy for camp.
Yeah, and then, you know, the news comes out today that Rasheen Mathis has been cleared to practice, although I'm sure that that's going to be on a limited basis. I mean, all these things are building, and then, you know, you had the little thing with the mayor, and then this, you know, and really, I think Justin Blackmon was really the poster child of the new era with the Jaguars, along with Shad Khan. I mean, those two really are the future faces of the franchise, right. And all of a sudden you have one of those faces end up having an incident driving while intoxicated, and that's not good, you know. So I mean, it will all pass, you know, and hopefully Justin will, you know, rectify anything that needs to be rectified. And we don't know what that is, but the one thing that is clear and was asked of General Manager Gene Smith today, that, you know, will this affect the contract? And he said, yes, it's going to affect the contract, and rightly so. You know, I mean, if you don't make a mistake, then, you know, contract negotiations are business as usual. And they can't be now. I mean, they just can't be. You know, I don't know what exactly tools that they're going to have to be able to penalize or protect themselves in the future with Justin Blackmon, but, you know, if it's your money, Brian.
Oh, no. There's going to be a serious clause in there protecting me.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Patrick Peterson, the defensive back who went fifth overall last year to the Arizona Cardinals, got a deal that I think was guaranteed to the tune of about $19 million.
Yeah, and right? I mean, most of the top 10 picks in last year's draft, and this is the new collective bargaining agreement, were fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
And so people were expecting these contracts this year to be fully guaranteed as well. And so, will that happen this year? Oh, this is going to be an interesting negotiations now. This is not going to be just the run-of-the-mill.
Gene was asked a number of questions about discipline, and he referred them all to the league by saying it's a league matter. And I don't know that a lot of people understand why it's a league matter, Logs, but having been involved in the CBA negotiations, can you lay it out for people why Gene can't talk about what is now the league's issue?
Well, the league is really taken the point, so to speak, in that any time that there's an encounter with the law, they're the ones that pretty much step right in, and this is going to fall under the substance abuse program, would be my guess. And because of that, that's a league-instituted program that's agreed upon by the union and the management council, the ownership. So this will be under the NFL substance abuse program, penalty program, you know, so the Jaguars are going to be willing to do anything and everything to help Justin Blackmon, and I'm sure that they would like to go ahead and penalize Justin Blackmon, but there are guidelines that they would have to follow, and so I think they're just going to follow the league's lead, so to speak, on this one.
And it's highly, highly, I don't want to say secretive, but sensitive. People aren't supposed to know who's in the program.
No, and we're not going to know for sure whether he's in the program. Right. I mean, that's all, you know, confidential.
That's the word, confidential.
But, I mean, you would think that when you get a DUI, and what is it, considered an aggravated
because
DUI.
Of his blood alcohol level
because
being elevated.
He, you know, he blew a .24, and then he had the incident back in 10, that he's going to fall into that category. He's going to be under that umbrella.
Could he be sanctioned game checks before he even signs a contract? I mean, that's kind of an interesting gray area.
The way I have been, or the way I understand it, is that the financial penalty can be, I think, up to like a penalty of $50,000. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, you can add a 2-week suspension to that or not. I don't know. I mean, these are, you know, have you ever seen anything where you have a top 10 pick to have an encounter with the law between the draft and the start of training camp before the contract is negotiated, where the league has had to step in and do something?
Can't think of one.
I can't think of any time in the history of the league where, especially now, because even if you went back 10, 15 years, yeah, maybe you'd find something out. But, I mean, Roger Goodell in the NFL has certainly taken a very strong stance against these type of things. And so the league is certainly different now than if something like this had happened 15, 20 years ago. So it's a much different league and a much different case than it might have been 15 years ago.
How's the locker room handle this?
Well, I would hope that the veteran players will talk with Justin, because the one thing that you never like to see from a veteran, or from if you're a veteran, is that you have somebody else embarrass you. You know, the thing that used to drive me nuts all the time is that guys would have encounters with the law, and this was back when Paul Tagliabue was the commissioner, and they'd have brushes with the law, but there really wouldn't be any much of a penalty that would come from the league. And I used to get mad at that because I wanted them to do something about it, because they give the good players a bad name.
Right.
And so I like what Roger Goodell has done, more so on the off-the-field stuff as opposed to the on-the-field. I'm not a big fan of what he's done, some of the stuff on the field. But, you know, I like what he's doing, and I think he's got to do something. He's got to do something about this. I mean, you have to set a precedent. And I'm not saying that he's got to make, you know, Justin Blackmon, you know, make him an example. But you got to do something.
There have been a lot of examples made in recent times from Roger Goodell's perspective. He has been a very cut-and-dried arbitrator of discipline.
Well, so. And something's going to happen, you know, whether it be a fine or, you know, suspension, you know, which I don't think can be very long, but something's going to be handed down by the league. And there will
thought.
Be other things that will be handed down by the league that we're not going to know about.
Yeah, exactly. We don't know the program. One final thought. And Mike Mularkey went to great lengths to remind people that they've had speakers, they have had presentations, they have addressed this before it became an issue, and 89 guys did it right. And
well, you
one
expect
guy
that.
Did it wrong.
Yeah, right. I mean, you expect that.
Just want to touch on the fact
you
the
know,
coach was very adamant about
well,
that.
Well, you expect that, and you know, you expect everybody to make the right decision. I mean, you're in a privileged position.
Right.
I mean, you're playing in the National Football League. You're getting paid very well. You're living a dream for that a lot of people had growing up. So, I mean, you're expected to make the right decisions, you know. And, yeah, I understand what Mike is saying, and that, you know, 89 out of 90 made the right decision this past weekend, and I kind of got the impression he wanted, you know, to make sure that people recognize that. Yeah, we recognize that, but I mean, you also expect that.
Sure.
You know, but you don't expect somebody to, you know, .24.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you doing?
I can't even imagine that. I'll be honest with you. I can't imagine what .24 feels like.
I don't know. I mean, I just, you know, hey, I've been young before, and I've made mistakes, but you just can't make the mistake to put other lives at risk by doing what he did.
Yeah.
And he's got to recognize that, and I'm sure that he does. And he was apologetic today. And we'll see what happens going forward.
All right. And speaking of going forward, we'll go forward with the news here at the bottom of the hour and another half hour of Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, live from Everbank Field in Jacksonville, right after this.
Fans, the Jaguars' annual Got Skills Rookie Day is happening Friday, June 22nd, 9 a.m. on the Florida Blue practice fields at Everbank Field. All kids age 6 through 14 can attend, but space is limited to the first 200 youths who register.
Youths? Did you say youths?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you guys are paying attention.
You sound like Joe Pesci.
Yeah, youths.
Too bad you don't look like Marissa Tomei.
Name the movie.
Oh, I just said Marissa Tomei was the co-star of that.
And
yeah, you
the,
did.
The judge would did the...
he was Herman Munster.
Herman Munster, right?
Or Muldoon, if you're that old.
What was the movie?
Come on now. You think about it while I say this. It's a great time to have some fun, get some exercise, and meet
My
the Jaguars rookies. Thank you very
yeah.
much. For more information and to register, visit jaguars.com.
We're sharp around here. Give us a couple minutes to think out loud, and we can come up with almost any answer. Lux, how about something from the good news file?
I got it for you.
Oh, you got it first. Okay,
yeah,
go for
I got a couple things. Obviously, Rasheen Mathis cleared to practice from...
7 months after surgery.
From the famous surgeon over in Alabama, right?
Dr. James Andrews.
And Dr. James Andrews, who is seems to be the destination for choice for a lot of premier athletes. So, I mean, it's going to be good to watch him, but he's cleared to practice, but I would have to think that, I mean, this is going to be a process, you know, where he's going to work back in, probably start off doing individual drills. I'd be shocked if they let him do any kind of team drills yet, let him get his feet up underneath of him, you know, watched him the last OTAs and watched his conditioning off to the side, and he looks good and said he felt great, talked with him a little bit about a week ago, and he said he feels great. But I did notice that he still got a little bit of a hitch in his gait, and that's common. You know, that comes with time, you know, and running and training. I mean, that will eventually clear up. Been through it, been there, done that. The other positive is that, and this I guess it's positive, a little bit of mystery surrounding this. Fred Taylor has a press conference tomorrow here at 9:30 for a quote-unquote special announcement. I don't know what it is.
Guessing that's pride of the Jaguars?
It'd be a guess, but I mean, I'd love to know what it's all about, and I'm going to be looking forward to hearing exactly what it is.
9:30 tomorrow morning.
9:30 tomorrow morning.
Book it, Dano.
The other things
what
that
shows that from.
Book it, Dano.
Come on, John.
Is it Hawaii Five-0?
Yeah, there you go.
I'd throw that out there. You like that? All right. The other positive news is that next week. The Jaguars have their mini camp, and wasn't sure if this was going to be the case or not. Had some friends of mine asking me this. It is going to be open to the public on 2 days for two practices.
Wednesday and Thursday.
Wednesday, it will be open at 3:30. So they have practice from 3:30 to 5:30 p.m. That's Wednesday the 13th. That'll be open to the public. And then on the 14th, which is Thursday, right? From 11:15 to 12:30 is practice. So that's good. That's good, though. I mean, talk about engaging the fans and getting the fans excited and opening this up to the public for two practices. And there's more practices than that, but having two of them open to the public, that's a good thing, and I'm glad the Jaguars have chosen to do that for the fans.
What are those times again?
Wednesday, it's 3:30 to 5:30 practice. And so you can go to practice and then, you know, get a few autographs, hop in your car, and listen to us on Jaguars This Week next
Betcha.
Wednesday. And then Thursday, 11:15 to 12:30. Got it, Joe?
Had a lot of people asking.
Yeah.
So there you go. Training camp then is the next scheduled event. So they have time off from the middle of June until the end of July, about 6 weeks. That's the way it used to be.
Well, they still will have, I think they still have workouts. I'm not positive on that, but I still think that there will be workouts, although the
– voluntary, for sure.
Yeah, the voluntary and the structured part of it. You know,
I think the rookies can be here.
A lot of limitations on what you can and can't do with this new collective bargaining agreement. And, you know, we had mentioned way back when before anything started, about how they need to tweak the system a little bit to make sure that, you know, the players have access to the facilities and to more coaching if possible without having – you know, this military-esque style of Tom Coughlin style of off season, you know. But I mean, there's, I think that they have to open it up more. And the reason I say that is that the NFL has some of the best facilities, period, anywhere in the country. And if I have an investment of millions of dollars in players, I want them working out in a safe, controlled environment that we facilitate. So,
Jarrell Suggs, strike a bell.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, guys get hurt.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and the word is now that he was playing basketball when he tore his Achilles.
Yeah, and they're saying it's not an issue for the team, you know. But anyway, I mean, you know, why not have them working out at your place, you know?
We're your doctors.
Yeah, because I go back to
– and medical trainers.
You know, when I first came to the league, we didn't have a lot of the OTAs and the structured workouts for a team, and Jimmy Johnson came in, and he really changed the way the league worked in the off season. And so a lot of guys would you know, scatter out to all parts of the country to get their own workouts in, and some of them had great facilities, you know, if they were close to their college or where they grew up, you know, maybe they had a university close by. But a lot of the guys, and I was one of them, and you know, we had to find a place at a community college, a high school to work out in, and sometimes those, you know, facilities aren't the best. You know, I mean, would you rather be running in a cow pasture, or would you rather be running on this plush grass that the Jaguars have out here on these practice fields that you can go barefoot and run 100 miles an hour and feel wonderful?
Not running barefoot through a cow pasture at all. So, 355 NFL1, 355-6351. Anything else from the it's not so bad, it's actually good file today?
That's about it. Just the caravan is continuing to roll along. I think that's all good, and I think it's exciting. You know, Tony talked to Tony Boselli earlier today prior to the Justin Blackmon conference, and I asked him how it was going, and he said it's been outstanding. The turnout has been great. The excitement level is high, and I get it. You know, I think that that's what it's all about. You know, we've got a new staff, a new owner, and a lot of new players, and people are excited for the season. And I got daily questions, you know, about the team and about Blaine Gabbert's development and about, you know, LaRon Robinson and, you know, Mike Mularkey. And then the conversations since Sunday all the way until now, and I'm sure it will continue, has been about this incident with Justin Blackmon. So, you know, if he does the right things, that will go away and all the excitement will continue.
Hey, from the congratulatory file, congratulations to Tom Coughlin, who got a 2-year extension with the Giants. And I just read this. I didn't realize. He has 12 postseason victories, including 2 Super Bowl wins. That ties him with Bill Cowher for 6th highest total in NFL history. Congratulations.
Impressive. Yeah, congratulations to him. He got 2 years added to the deal, so over the next 3 years, I think the payout's around $20 million. And that puts him – I think Bill Belichick is the highest paid, and he's, what, 7.5 million per year. Mike Shanahan is up there, and he's somewhere
in that range.
Yeah, so Tom is right up there, I think, in the top 5 paid coaches in the National Football League, and he deserves to be. I mean, when you have 2 Super Bowls, you know, all on your belt.
Is there a better coach in the league right now? He's beaten Belichick the last 3 times they've played.
I mean, you could, there's a lot of arguments to be made, but I mean, what he's been able to do with 2 teams, and certainly one of them, you know, last year 9-7 in regular season and fight through that division and get a playoff spot, and then to beat what many thought were the unbeatable Patriots, and then the last Super Bowl win that he got was an undefeated Patriots team that he had to beat. I mean, that, you know, to me, that's impressive. You know, is he the best coach? I don't know. You know, Bill Belichick still has more rings than Tom.
He does.
So that'd be a good argument.
All right. Be fun. Are you serious? Joe wants to take this call. You ready for this?
Yeah.
All right. Richard's in Regency. Hello, Richard.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I was wondering, do you think anybody will pick up T.O. this year? And maybe would it be a wise idea for maybe the Jaguars to pick him up and show – young Mr. Blackmon how it's done in the NFL?
Oh, dear God. No, the answer is no and no. Check the Allen Wranglers of the IFL who cut him because he didn't follow through in the terms of his contract. And you wouldn't want T.O. showing anything to Justin Blackmon. Let's kill that storyline.
Well, the
right
one
now.
Thing about T.O. that he's never had an off-the-field issue. You know, so I mean, all of his things have been in the locker room and in the press and off the field, but not from a legal standpoint. But Richard, I mean, T.O. I think stands for everything that you don't like about a wide receiver who is a diva, and there's no way.
No way. No chance. No. There was no chance 5 years ago.
No, and you know what? T.O. Terrell Owens is still a fantastic athlete. Phenomenal football player, and probably would still have a job if he weren't such a knucklehead. What he went on Dr. Phil, talked about his personal issues. You know, he cried about his quarterback in Dallas. He's offended every quarterback that he's ever played for.
Let's put it this way: there's 32 teams in the NFL. How many teams are there in the AFL? They all passed on him, right? At least 50 teams in professional football passed on him.
You know, and it's kind of funny that Terrell Owens fired his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. I don't know the agent's name that he actually has chosen to represent him going forward. But if you fire Drew Rosenhaus,
it's over.
It ain't looking good.
Next question.
That's true right there. Next question.
All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap this show up. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, continues after this on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Football Fanatics. It's Brian and Jeff, just like in the booth. How cool is that?
You're bored, aren't you?
No, not at all. I like this show.
Joe Fortunato, ladies and gentlemen, joining us every Wednesday night. You're underpaid, Joe.
You think?
Or overpaid. It just depends on who you ask, really.
Yeah, really.
We got about 7 minutes left in this program. What do you make of the spat between the league and the officials?
Not much of it. I mean, you know, just like last year when we talked about the lockout with the players and we talked about, I guess you could say, hard lines or hard time as far as when you have to get the deal done and really the deadline for the NFL and the officiating union. What is it called? The National Football League Referees Association,
yeah.
I believe is what they're called.
It's an acronym.
They, them in the league, obviously, will have that time put on them as you get real close to the regular season. So the league has said that they're starting to look for replacement officials and will move forward with that. But, I mean, that's all kind of all part of posturing, all part of negotiating. And I hope that it doesn't come to that. Because I think what the officials have been able to do in the National Football League, what they do is tremendous. I mean, they're very good. They're the best of the best. And a lot of talk is that, well, you know, the league should go to having full-time officials. And I don't agree with that. I think that the way that they have it and have had it for many years, it works. And I think when officials have other jobs, and this is just something that they do as a part-time job, I think it makes it less susceptible to bad things happening. If you can get my drift on that.
Yeah, I get your drift. 355-NFL-1. I promise you this, we're not going to talk about the officials and the league all summer long like we did last year.
I hope not. You know, after last year with the lockout, you know, I mean, this really was a great opportunity this year for the league to have just a lot of positive momentum, you know, kind of going forward into the 2012 season. And the Saints situation, Bounty Gate, this issue with the officials, I think you lose some momentum when you have those things happen. And so hopefully things will get straightened out. And then also the whole Bounty Gate thing with, you know, you got Jonathan Vilma suing Roger Goodell. You don't like to have that kind of PR as a league as a whole. But things happen, and hopefully things are going to get straightened out here pretty quick.
Loggy, or you too, Brian, when do they usually come in and talk to us, the media? Isn't it like right before
training camp?
Like right before the scrimmage, usually, isn't it?
It's the night of the scrimmage.
Night of the scrimmage?
Sometimes, but then it hadn't been always at that date. It's just whenever they're available. You know, but it is in training camp before any preseason games start, and they show all of the local media a video that shows all of the emphasis for the league, the league-wide officiating crews,
right,
and then explain any type of rule changes. But that is really not a set date.
I would just hate to like lose that on something like that. Or if they do come, they're suddenly right there with the media. That's going to put them on the spot because somebody's going to ask questions.
Well, and then I don't think that they would have that.
Yeah, they wouldn't have replacement officials out there.
If they have replacement officials. But, I mean, the NFL rule book is it's different. It's different than where they would be able to get officials from right now. You know, it's different than the college game. It's different than the pro game. It would slow the game down. It would slow the broadcast of the game down. Wouldn't like it. You know, so hopefully that will get worked out. And, look, hey, it's June. It's, you know, early June. There's plenty of time.
Hey, I'm following John Osher's tweets on and Ryan Robinson's tweets.
Where is John Osher?
Well, I'm sure he's in Gainesville. Because I'm following his tweets there.
Well, that's a good excuse.
He just tweeted that Coach Mularkey told the Gainesville Caravan crowd the team is looking into having a practice bubble. We've had some serious rain already come through here, and they've missed a couple of practice sessions. Do you suppose that is a high priority for this team this summer?
Don't know. I don't. It's not something that's going to happen this year, but obviously something that will be looked at for the future. You know, would it benefit the team? Sure. You know, it's going to be one heck of an air conditioning bill, I can tell you that. And if you do it, you know, it's got to be able to be pretty strong and sturdy to withstand tropical depressions and storms.
Where are you going to stick it?
I would have to think that they would build it around one of the current practice fields.
Yeah.
You know, but, hey, you know, back for years and years and years, you'd always just have the flexibility of schedule. And that, hey, look, if you'd look at the weather and you'd move practice to whenever you had to move it to get your work in. And that worked for many years, but I understand that, you know, sometimes that's not the best. If they get it, great. You know, they'll have an indoor, probably artificial field that they can get out of the heat at times for walkthroughs and such, you know. So, but I don't know what something like that costs.
All right, time for the stupid question of the night.
Okay.
Wouldn't that...
Wait, T.O. wasn't?
No. I may top that with this. We normally have a distinct advantage. We've seen that. Teams come down here in September, and they can't handle it. Do we lose that, you know, practicing in the heat?
No, because it wouldn't be something that they would use often, I would think. I would think that this would be something that would only be used in situations of inclement weather. Hey, look, when you're in training camp and you have, you know, one practice a day that's full pads and the other one's a glorified walkthrough for now in training camps, you're going to get your work outdoors in the heat.
Yeah.
You know, and you adapt to the heat and adjust to the heat being in it on a daily basis. You know, so I don't think that would take away. Now, if you were in there practicing on it every day, yeah. It'd take away your advantage, but that's not something that it would be utilized as.
Well, and Mularkey comes from Atlanta, where they had a great indoor practice facility right next to the fields outdoors. Clearly, you know, Flowery Branch has a first-class facility. They're going to have to evaluate the value of putting one of those up if you're only going to use it.
After watching Brian Enger punt the ball, they better build it tall.
And that's how we end the show, folks. Have a great night, great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week with some training camp reports here on Jaguars This Week.